Welcome to Jawa Jabber, a Star Wars podcast dedicated to spreading our own little slice of positivity throughout the galaxy. From the prequels to the sequels to every Disney Plus spinoff they want to throw at us, we're here to celebrate any time we get to spend in our favorite galaxy together, and we want you to come along for the ride. I'm David Wren, joined by my bro hosts Dennis, Kyle, and Matt. We invite you to sit back, relax, and enjoy our fully armed and operational podcast.
And this is Jawa Jabber.
Hello there, Star Wars fans, and welcome to another new episode of Jawa Jabber. I am your supreme leader, David Wren, and I am joined by my best friend and bro host, Kai Nobi.
Hello there. My name is Matt, and insert your Jar Jar impression here.
Yes, for our missing council members tonight. Thank you, Kai Nobi. Yeah, so tonight it's just me and Kai Nobi, and that's all right. That's part of the reason we have four of us on this podcast. So, you know, when things happen, we can still do a show and we can still entertain you guys, because that is what this is all about. All right, so tonight we have a lot of ground to cover. We are going to be talking about episode 5 and 6 of Ahsoka, the best Star Wars series ever made. And it's just funny because, like, I'm on cloud 9 because, remember, like, when we've been talking about it, like, since pretty much they announced Ahsoka, but, like, definitely in the lead up to Ahsoka, like, you know, I kept saying, oh, I hope this is good. I hope this is good. She's one of my favorite characters. I really hope they don't drop the ball, blah, 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 blah. And, like, I'm trying not to look at it in that bias, but, like, I really don't think they've dropped the ball. I am really enjoying this. I can't wait for Tuesday night every night. Or every week, you know, like, the fan event that we went to was amazing, which we're going to talk about in a second. Like, I don't know, like, are you happy so far, Kyle, like, with everything that's going on?
Yeah, I think as soon as Jon Favreau said this was Dave Filoni's magnum opus a few months ago, talking about the show, that's kind of when I knew, like, that this is the real deal. And then they came out at Celebration and they announced that Dave was getting his own movie. And we all know, as Star Wars fans, there's a difference between a movie being announced through a trade and a movie being announced at Celebration, because we've had about 30 movies get shelved at this point.
That is very true. You know, so it's funny, I never thought of that before, but you are absolutely right. When they announce something at Celebration, you know it's happening.
Yeah, and I think we're very lucky as Star Wars fans at this point in the saga that we can have a show like Andor that is a very humanistic story and is an Emmy caliber writing piece. And you can have Ahsoka as the foil for that, which really just expands the lore and embraces the mystical side of Star Wars. To live in a place where we can have these two shows coexist and be equally happy with both for fans like myself, I'm just over the moon.
I know, right? I agree with you 100%. It's phenomenal, and we love it, and let's get talking about it. All right, so episode 5, titled Shadow Warrior. Kyle, who wrote and directed and everything in this episode?
Yep, so this one was written and directed by none other than Dave Filoni, and the cinematographer was Quian Tran, who's directed a few other episodes of Ahsoka thus far.
Oh, okay. I didn't even realize that. That's awesome. But yeah, so we knew going into this episode that it was going to be a big one. Even before they announced the special fan screenings that you and I were lucky enough to attend, you in Chicago and me in air quote Philadelphia, even though it wasn't. Well, that's the thing. Like, it wasn't Philadelphia. I mean, it's a suburb of Philadelphia. It was at the Neshaminy Mall. Like, I don't even.
That's how mine was, too. It was in, like, Skokie, Illinois, Chicago.
Right, like, I want to say it's called, I want to say it's technically Langhorne is the address, like, Langhorne, Pennsylvania. I'm not positive. And, like, anyone that knows me and is friends with me, like, in this area knows that I don't travel to Philadelphia. So, I mean, I would have for Star Wars, but I was very happy that it was, you know, not in air quote Philadelphia. It was at Neshaminy Mall, which is where I saw the screening of Return of the Jedi for the 40th anniversary too. So I, you know, that's kind of become my new theater for Star Wars stuff. But yeah, I mean, you went to Chicago, I went to Philadelphia. You obviously had a much longer trip than I did. How long of a trip was that for you, Kyle?
It was a few hours. I think that's what I'm willing to disclose.
Fair enough.
But okay, I got to see my brother and his family. So that made the trip very much worth it.
So the episode itself wasn't worth it? No, I'm just kidding. I mean, it was definitely worth my 45-minute trip. I will admit that. And we got there super early. We got there on your recommendation at like 4:45. We were aiming for 5 o'clock for the 8 o'clock show, and we were about 10th in line. So, you know, it worked out. I thought it was cool. Like, again, kind of like Celebration, it was cool to like meet new people who, like, most of them were in this area anyway, but like the three people in front of me went to Celebration in London, and I just kind of thought that was awesome. Like, you know, we were just talking about different things, and they had mentioned the Excel Center, and they had the same kind of point of view as I did about how like cramped it was and like all that stuff. Yep. And it was just really cool to you know, like it kind of felt like a mini Celebration. And you know, I went with one of our loyal listeners, Robert, who I know is listening right now. Hi, Robert. And, you know, like he went with me and then got to run into Adam, who came up from Virginia. So that was kind of
cool. Nice.
Yeah. So, you know, it was great. It's funny because I saw him more at the Ahsoka screening than I did in Anaheim when we were both at the convention. But
I know. I think there was like all but. So there's like 15 people ahead of me when I got there, I think That's 2 hours early. No, not at all. And all but one of them was either at London or Anaheim, which is crazy.
That's awesome. Yeah,
That's very, really very cool. Heavy Star Wars fans there.
That, well, I mean, obviously, right? I mean, it was so funny when the girl walked out with the big box of the posters. I knew immediately it was the posters.
Yeah,
because I said, I'm like, those are those boxes that they use at Celebration, and Robert kind of laughed at me, but it was true.
It's very specific.
Well, yeah, they're like those long, you know, boxes where they have the multiple posters in it, and they were like 13, they're 13 by 19, I believe, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So we got our poster, so, you know, I was very happy because I was hoping for a poster, because you know me with my posters and my lack of wall space, but you know, it makes me happy. But yeah, the trick became not denting the poster. You know, I should have probably went out and put it in the car, but I didn't do that, and everything was fine. And
that's what I was worried about. I wanted to put mine in the car, and a couple people were like going back and forth up and down all the aisles trying to look for seats. And they kept knocking over people's posters who were like on their lap or sitting on the ledge above them in my aisle. I was kind of afraid somebody would take my seat if I didn't go. Like, of course, Sydney would stick up for me, but there were probably 15 people roaming throughout the theater that didn't want to sit up front but were too stingy. So they're waiting to see if somebody got up or wanted to give up their seat. Like, just go sit up front. They're only letting a certain amount of people in here. And I don't know how many they turned away at your theater, but they turned away at least 50 to 100.
Probably standby about the same people. Yeah, I was so far ahead in the line, I didn't really see, you know what I mean? But I know Adam was about maybe 100 people back, and he got in, and there were people after him. So I think they had about 230 seats in the theater, I believe.
That's about what mine was as well.
Yeah, okay, yeah, so that was probably the standard. I know ours was in Dolby. It was like a Dolby.
Yeah, I think all of them theater. Were. That's why they're all kind of outside the city.
It was all AMC, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought so. Okay, yeah. Yeah, no, I loved seeing it on the big screen. It added, you know, a kind of, I don't know, event feel to it. And of course I went home and rewatched it because it was already on Disney Plus, you know, while I was, and then I talked to you while you were driving home, and I got to talk to Matt for about an hour. And then I even talked to Dennis for an hour because he answered the phone, and it was crazy and I couldn't believe it. And we were up till like 3 a.m, but it was, you know, fantastic. We should have just pressed record on those three conversations. That's all.
No, we should have just done a group call because
I know
it was incredible seeing it in theaters. I felt like a kid again.
So cool
to just and like we all know like the sequels like aren't really my jam. I respect it. I think they're very well made. I think like Rian Johnson especially is an incredibly talented filmmaker. I met J.J. Abrams. I was super stoked to meet him then. I'd be super stoked to meet him again because he's incredibly talented as well. They're just not my thing.
Right.
But this is like the way I felt when I was a kid watching the prequels in theaters. Just like the mystique and just the excitement I had for Star Wars. It was something I haven't felt in a long time. So it was just awesome, that experience.
That's amazing to hear. And I got to say, I felt the exact same way. Maybe not necessarily as a kid again, because I was never really a kid watching Star Wars when I first saw the movies, I was 14, you know? So like I was,
yeah, that's a different experience.
Right. Like I was already a teenager and, you know, through no fault of my own, it's just my parents didn't like Star Wars. You know what I mean? So like I wasn't raised with it. And then it was the special editions and now everyone can figure out my real age, but oh well. But it was the special editions and I got to, you know, watch, but like the prequels were the first time I saw them in the movie theater. Cause I did not see the special editions in movie theaters. I only saw the VHS.
Yeah.
So it was the prequels were my first, you know, Star Wars theater experience. Episode 3 still being one of my favorite theatrical experiences ever. I was in San Francisco in college at the time. Again, you guys can now figure out my age, but, like, I just remember we got to the theater. It was still midnight shows back then, which thankfully are pretty much a thing of the past for my advanced age now. But,
oh, thank
you know,
God.
Whatever. Dude, I know, right? Like, I went to so many of them, but I feel like even when I was younger, I didn't really enjoy going to midnight. I just had to go to midnight because, you know, yeah, to prove that I saw it first kind of thing.
Well, it was around the time of Force Awakens in 2015 where they started doing the 7 p.m. showings, I think.
Correct.
Because I remember that was like the first, maybe that was before Civil War because, yeah.
Yeah, but Force Awakens was definitely my first not midnight premiere. Like I remember even going to see like Pirates of the Caribbean at midnight, you know what I mean? Like, you know,
yeah, and
like
I remember Force Awakens
like that and the Marvel movies and yeah, but I remember I was scared with Force Awakens because I had dress rehearsal for Christmas Carol, which dress rehearsal I cannot you know miss. Like I could miss maybe a regular rehearsal but not dress rehearsal, so we had to go to like the 11 o'clock show. And I remember being nervous. I sent my friends, Sean and Brendan, they went to the movie theater at 6 o'clock for our 11 o'clock show to stand in line for me because I was crazy. And I made them send me a selfie that they were at the theater. And then, you know, I zoomed over from dress rehearsal with actually half the cast and they all joined us because they all got tickets because we went to the same theater. So that was really cool. But
that's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
I remember seeing.
It was great. It was a great night. And but yeah, I just remember being so nervous that like someone was going to walk out of the theater and be like, you're like, oh, this movie sucked or something like that. But it didn't happen. And the movie did not suck. And I was, you know, very happy.
Yeah, I remember seeing Force Awakens 7 o'clock or 7:15 was at the first showing of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And the first 3D showing of the day was 10 o'clock. So those people lined out the door for the first 3D showing. I can't do that. I can't let my first experience of a movie be in 3D. It's just,
same way. I can't believe we've never talked about this before. But no, I always saw the IMAX or the 3D, like the second showing for all the sequels and Rogue One and Solo.
Yeah.
Like it was always the second, like the first screening had to be what I call pure in my, you know what I mean? Even though when it's just IMAX, I don't mind. Cause like, but that's like a newer thing. Like back then it was always 3D IMAX. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah. Cause back then, like very few movies were shot entirely on IMAX.
Right.
Like, or in IMAX format, but now it's becoming more popular. So like, for example, this week I'm going to go see The Creator in IMAX. Like I'm extremely excited for that movie.
Cool.
But before I forget really quick. So the story with the 3D showing. So we're walking out. We're the first 2D showing. The first 3D showing is waiting like outside to get in basically. And someone from my theater just yells, "Han Solo dies!" And
no,
everyone in the crowd was so pissed. Like,
oh, I'm sure.
They were throwing popcorn at him. They were throwing their snacks at him. Like, $8 Reese's Pieces they're throwing at this guy because he just spoiled the movie. It was brutal, but...
How can you be that way? Like,
yeah, I don't know. He must have hated the movie, but
now it's funny because that is the exact fear that I had waiting for that 11 o'clock movie. That is the exact fear that I can't believe that that happened with you guys. I mean, at least you weren't in line waiting to see the movie.
Yeah, that would have been brutal.
That would have been terrible. You would have hated the sequels even more. No, I know you don't hate them. I love to kid you.
I know you guys give me shit about it, but
I do, but we do, but it's all right. It's all good. All right. So I also love how, even though it's just the two of us, we can still go off on tangents. It's just the way Jawa Jabber rolls. All right.
We're 15 minutes in and zero has been covered in the actual episodes.
That's all right. Well, we did mention the prequels, and the prequels...
We did, yeah. We're getting close enough.
The prequels lead to our next topic, the return of the Skywalker. So, you know, we're on brand. That's all we're going to say. Yeah, we're on brand.
We're good.
It works. All right. So, Anakin, back on screen, back where he belongs, and we saw it on the big screen. We saw Hayden Christensen and those Jedi robes on the big screen again. I can't tell you how excited I was. Like, it was just, I felt like, I hate to say a kid again, but I felt like that kind of college-aged person again when I saw episode 3, you know? Like, and I mean, he looked exactly the same, which was also kind of cool. And all right, they did de-age him, right?
Yeah, I mean, like there's 100%.
There's been back and forth discussion. I'm so oblivious to it. Like, to me, the end of the last episode, episode 4, like, he looked like they did something to him.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, in this episode, I don't know if I was just so engrossed in it or whatever. Like, I truthfully didn't notice. But
no,
I remember...
there was nothing to notice. It was, right. It was very well done, episode 5.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, the whole episode itself, the pacing, everything about it. But yeah, no, like his performance in this, I just love that he is now, all these years later, getting the love from the fan base that he deserves. And I think we all agree on that because he's just worth it. And I have said it from the beginning. I said it was the dialogue and it was the direction because he had done other movies and stuff and he was really good in them. And, you know, no one believed me. They were like, oh, you're just defending him because he's a Star Wars actor. I'm like, no, he's a great actor. You guys just suck. So, you know, I've been on the Hayden train for my whole life. And, well, not my whole life, I guess, since... When did Attack of the Clones come out? 2002? I guess since 2002. All right. I have proudly been on the Hayden train since 2002, and I now proudly wear Hayden on my left arm permanently. So, you know, there's that aspect also.
We'll have to do a collage of like our Star Wars tattoos for the
Jawa
Jabber page.
Yeah, we should. Absolutely. I mean, I only have the one, so... You know, and you've got the 12 of them, or however many you have. Well, no,
I only have one Star Wars tattoo.
I was going to say, you're just the Ahsoka one, right? Yours aren't all Star Wars. Yeah. And then Matt has, what, two or one? Matt has one tattoo.
I don't know. I know for sure he has the...
He's got the Arabesh one. Right, yeah. I think his other tattoo is not Star Wars, so I think he has one Star Wars. And yes, but my one-and-done tattoo is... of Anakin turning to the dark side. Well, it's Revenge of the Sith when he's already turned into Darth Vader, but before the fight. You can see the tear in his eye. I love it. Kenny, my main man, Kenny, at Art of War Tattoo. Thank you very much for doing the artwork. And one day I hope to show Hayden the tattoo as I congratulate him on this performance in this amazing episode in this amazing series. Yeah, but like him and Rosario, him and little Ahsoka, what is her name, Kyle? I can't.
The actress?
Yeah, the actress.
Yeah, Ariana Greenblatt.
That Okay. Yeah. I don't know why I can't get that name in my head, but okay. You know, it's a combination of like two different actors' names. So I don't know, because I know there's a Greenblatt and of course there's Ariana Grande. So, you know, why I can't get that in my head, but you know, do you have anything to say about Hayden's performance or like seeing him again on the screen doing his thing or like,
yeah, I'm so glad he's gotten to show his acting chops. Cause I mean, I loved him in Kenobi. Mm-hmm. And we got to see a little bit of it in the flashback that where he was more in like Attack of the Clones
right.
style outfit.
Where they didn't de-age him and they complained.
Well, I mean, they did. Like, they show behind the scenes they kind of did, but not really enough. And I think it's a combination of the hair and the makeup as well. Because if you look at the behind-the-scenes pictures they released from Episode 5, the makeup's really good and the hair is really good. So I think they did very little de-aging.
Well, that's good. I don't think they should de-age. I don't know. I know I'm in the minority. Like, I mean, obviously, if Mark Hamill is going to play, you know, a current timeline-based Luke Skywalker, you know, like, in that period, obviously you can't have... But, like, Hayden is close enough to the age, you know what I mean? Where, like, I don't know. I could be biased. I could be, you know, and I guess I'm also just used to a lot of TV shows I've watched that don't do that, where they do flashbacks and they don't, you know, like they put them in different costumes, but not necessarily.
This ain't General Hospital, buddy.
No. I'm not talking. General Hospital very rarely does flashbacks. Okay. They very rare. I was more thinking like Friends when they did like the college episodes and like, you know, and like other than Fat Monica, they were all the same. You know what I mean? Like they did the nose on Rachel to make her look a little different. Like that's kind of more what I was thinking. Yeah. And then I was also thinking like Once Upon a Time. I don't know if you ever watched that.
No, I haven't.
But like they always did flashbacks to this one point of time when they were all in fairy tale world or whatever. Right. And like, as the series progressed, the actors got older and they would still do flashbacks, but you know, they obviously still looked older even though they were supposed to be younger. Does that make any kind of sense?
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah. So like, I guess, again, I'm just used to them not de-aging. So I would rather them not. But, I mean, hey, whatever.
It looked good, though. And hair really helps, too, because if you look at some of the, like, the temple flashbacks in Kenobi, it's just his normal hair. They're just covering with the hood.
Right.
I think having that hood down and then having the wig on and the fact that the wig was extremely well done.
Yeah.
I mean, it was bulletproof, man. I mean, Dave Filoni, you got to give it to him. He makes things right. Like, he's just going to find a way. Everything just looks good that he does.
I need to track down whoever they got to do that wig, because I still need my Anakin wig for my cosplay. So guess what? That's the wig I want. I want, like,
yeah, it was really
like,
well,
talk about screen accurate. Could you imagine if I was able to purchase like the wig used by Hayden Christensen in Ahsoka?
That'd be surprised. They use a lot of just everyday props. Like, I've seen this.
I know that's true.
Social media,
right?
Page and he shows like Ahsoka the White. Her boots are just Adidas Crazy Eights.
Oh, sure.
Just wrapped
in tape. Absolutely. Yeah. So I mean, who knows? Maybe. All right, Lucasfilm, if you're listening, please release what wig you used so I may buy it and then I can have my person Carly style it for me, and then, you know, we'll all be set for Japan in 2025 and it'll be great. All right, so speaking of flashbacks, Battle of Ryloth, Siege of Mandalore, Ariana Grande as Ahsoka, you know, like... Kyle, especially you, because you're such a Clone Wars fan. Like, you know, you said you watched it from the beginning and you were a little kid and you went to the theater for your birthday, right? Like, to see the Clone Wars movie.
Yeah, I did. It was like my 10th birthday.
Right.
Can't exactly. See Clone Wars so, in theaters.
Talk about literally growing up with it. Like, you are the generation that like those scenes were like made for, you know what I mean? And as much as I loved it and seeing Hayden and, you know, young Ahsoka, whatever, I mean, for you, it must have been, I don't know. How did it feel? Like, seeing it in live action, seeing Anakin in that costume that we've never seen outside of an action figure or a hot toy. Like, you know, what, like, just, I don't know. Tell me, like, what were your thoughts?
No, it was very validating. Cause I mean, the first flashback was Teth. I don't know if people realize that it was given away by like the purple hue of when young Ahsoka first falls to the ground. So they went from Teth to Ryloth and then to Mandalore after that. And it was really cool seeing some kind of plays on like what happened in the show. Cause Ahsoka delivers a very similar line. And I think it's season one of the Clone Wars when it's called Battle Over Ryloth. And Ahsoka loses like her entire squadron because of a decision she made to keep fighting when they should be retreating. And she gives like the same line here on this battlefield. So it was pretty interesting seeing that. But man, it was just great. And they had a really good dynamic between Ariana and Hayden. And just seeing him get to embrace a different side of Anakin, it was awesome.
Yeah, and I knew, like that I just mentor knew it. Role.
Exactly. I just knew it last year when Hayden said he watched all of the Clone Wars. Like, there's no way he did that just for Kenobi. Like, there's no way he did that for Kenobi.
Right, exactly. You know, it's funny you say that because I thought of that before and I never really expressed it. But that's true. Like, why would you watch all of that if you weren't going to, you know, like, because they didn't really reference it in Kenobi.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, he could have just watched the other, or, you know, like the movies again. You know what I mean? For that, like, that would have been. That would have been fine. I know one thing for me, because everybody who knows me knows this, like, I've never been a fan of the animation style, so to speak, particularly like early Clone Wars. And one thing I noticed with these scenes in live action, even what I call the better animation, like the Siege of Mandalore, you know, by by season 7 of the Clone Wars, obviously the animation had improved and I had grown used to it and I enjoyed it by that point. But one of the, I don't know if jarring would be the right word for me, is like, I feel when you're, and again, I'm coming at this from an older perspective, and Kyle, I know you were coming from a younger perspective. Like, as I was watching it, I would forget sometimes how young Ahsoka actually is, you know, and to see Ariana as Ahsoka in these scenes, like even in the Siege of Mandalore, and so, like, it's very visually striking how young she is. At least that's my takeaway, you know what I mean? Because yes, you know, Ahsoka's young and, you know, she matures through the Clone Wars and whatever, but like, It was very striking to me how young she was, and it put a lot of Ahsoka's journey through the Clone Wars in perspective to me. Like, oh yeah, she's just a kid. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, this was a 17-year-old that beat Darth Maul.
Well, and
that really puts it in perspective.
You kind of like, and I know, like, when we were watching the Siege of Mandalore, I wasn't thinking, oh yeah, she's 17. You know what I mean? Like, I was not. I was just, you know, oh yeah, Ahsoka, love her, yada yada, yay, you know. But like, yeah, seeing, and it's not that like in the animation they don't portray her as young. I just feel like, you know, because like she's obviously older in Rebels and she's drawn more older and whatever. But I don't know. It was very eye opening to me seeing it in live action and going, wow, like, she's just a kid. Yeah. Like she, like you said, she's 17 and defeats Darth Maul. It's,
yep.
Wow. And the Mandalorian, seeing him in live action, that was cool.
Yeah. All the uniforms were done very, very well between the clones and the Mandalorians.
The 332nd. I loved seeing them for a second.
Yeah, that was awesome. And Rex, man, just seeing Rex was awesome.
Rex. Oh my God. Yes. King Tem back on our screens, as he should be. Sorry, haters. I want Book of Boba Fett season 2. I just, you know me, I want all the Star Wars. I just want, I just want everything. All right, so let's sidetrack from Anakin and Ahsoka for a second, and let's talk about the other Jedi in the room, little Jason. Like the stuff with him and Hera and Carson and everybody looking for Ahsoka, I thought was really well done. And I didn't find it like distracting to the main plot with Ahsoka and Anakin, you know what I mean? Like I thought the flow went very good, and that doesn't always happen when you're cutting between two stories. So I appreciated narratively kind of the back and forth of that story. But I gotta tell you, when Jason's standing near the water and then we hear it for like a second, but like the lightsabers, and he can hear like the fighting, I got chills, dude.
No, like, that was an incredibly deeply emotional moment.
Right? Like, it was, it was so, I didn't know how to react. Like, it was so interesting. I was like, wow. I'm like, that is so, emotional. Like, it was just so, I loved it. Like, it was, you know, like, you can tell that Kanan is his father, you know, obviously. Mm-hmm. Now, is Hera force sensitive?
I don't know. I think that kind of ties into the whole theme of this show that, you know,
like anybody can.
Yeah, you know, anybody right. can tap into the force,
right.
especially when you're being guided by somebody else.
Right, exactly. And I mean, you know, it's obviously in her family because, you know, her and Kanan weren't married, right? They were never.
No.
Right? No, they were never married, but they were. You know, they were together, obviously, and they have Jason. And I love Jason. I hope this kid is in other stuff. Like, I hope he pops up in the Mando movie. And I'm sure they will. And I hate that we're calling it the Mando movie. I just want to call it, you know what? Let's call it Dave Filoni's movie. Let's just call it
that. Or just the Heir to the Empire.
Do you think they'll call it Heir to the Empire, though?
I'm like 50-50. I don't think they will, but then again, like, this show shouldn't have been called Ahsoka to me. It should have just been called Master and Apprentice. It would have been a much better name to me. And I'm just sick of Star Wars is so creative. Stop giving us shows called Kenobi, Andor, Ahsoka.
Right.
Like, I'm over it. Give us something uniquely named. Like, Andor could have been Age of the Rebellion or Rise of the Rebellion or something like that. Anything like that, you could have given. I'm just spitballing. Like, those could have been names for the Andor series. And Kenobi is one thing. Like, that was really, really a deep character study. So that might be a different story.
Yeah, but
Andor and Ahsoka could have had different names.
I agree. That, you know what? We found your job at Lucasfilm, Kyle. You can be, like,
the official master.
Title master. There we go. Ooh, it even has a cool name. There you go. See? You even came up with, like, a cool name for yourself. That's awesome.
Exactly. Yeah, that's why I'm the title master. Before I forget, though, shout out to Matt Wood and the sound design team.
Yes.
Because the waves crashing, and, I mean, they've been on point this entire series and for all of Star Wars history, for that matter. But the way the lightsabers hitting and the waves crashing was just perfection. And that's Sydney, my fiance. That's her favorite Star Wars actor is Matt Wood. Like, she freaked out.
That's right.
When we were at Celebration, she got to go to him.
And she got to talk to him. I remember that. Oh, that was awesome.
She was so scared. She was so scared to talk to him by herself. I was like, no, you're going to do this. Like, this is your guy. You love Grievous. You love the battle droids. Like, you go up and talk to him. And then I got to say thank you for all his work, even though I've told Matt 1,000 times at Celebration. But they just did an incredible job. The sound design and the score have been two massive highlights from this series thus far.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I love. And I was I remember the day that I was hanging out with Sam at her booth. Sam was like next to Matt Wood. So I got to see like all the people like coming up to talk to him. And, you know, that General Grievous cosplay guy.
Oh yeah.
Like, he came up while I was at Sam's booth, and I actually went out of the booth and took pictures of him because
that's awesome.
Like, Matt Wood even came out of the booth to like get a picture with him and stuff, and it was so cool. I was like, oh, that's awesome. I'm like,
yeah, that's awesome.
That's the kind of stuff that only happens at Star Wars Celebration. So, you know, it's just where you can just go up and talk to Matt Wood or, you know, like anyone. It's great. And I agree. They've done a amazing job with like that's and the visuals too. Like that scene where Jason is standing there on the cliff and then like the ghost takes off and the X-Wings are in the background. Like,
yep.
It looks so good. I don't know if it's a higher budget, if it's Filoni's influence. Like,
I think it's a combination, man. Like, okay. And from what we've heard, like, this was a crew that was treated really well compared to some other projects.
That's true.
I'm not going to name any names, but Ahsoka was like the set to be on if you're a Lucasfilm crew member.
Right.
And it was just, it's just everyone's busting their ass. And you can tell this was made by people who really, really love Star Wars.
Right.
And I think that was beautiful because everything in this show is just, it's just done right, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. I agree. It's definitely, I mean, I know it's not over yet, but it right now, if we had to rank them, I would say this is my favorite so far out of all.
Oh, yeah. I really hope it sticks to landing. And I'm fairly certain it will.
Yeah. I don't want to say I'm nervous, but maybe I'm a little nervous. I'm not sure. Like, I don't know what to say. Like, I don't want to jinx it either. So, you know, I'm not trying to jinx it. But I mean, it's Dave Filoni. He's gotten us this far. He brought Anakin back to me. So I have faith. I have faith. And speaking of Anakin, you know, we got to see him give Ahsoka this final lesson, a lesson that he never got to give her in the Clone Wars. God, it was so emotional. Like, I remember I was just sitting in the theater and I just kept sinking into my chair. I was like when from, you know, when they're standing there and, you know, Ahsoka says something about, you know, all the people he's killed or something. I forget what the line is, but, you know, and Anakin just turns her and goes, "Is that what this is about?" And then, like, you know, like the whole tenor of the scene like changes and he flips into Darth Vader mode and, like, you know, he stands there like he did on Mustafar, and then he ignites his lightsaber and, like, you know, pushes her through the portal and she's older Ahsoka again. And then he flashes to Darth Vader and, you know, the "you lack conviction" and the, oh, it just,
the badass line. That's like top five Vader lines.
I was just going to say, it's definitely one of my top, like, if I ever had Hayden do like a quote on an autograph, I think it would have to be that, you know. Just because
that, and like Vader's line of Rebels when he's talking to Ezra, and Ezra said he's not afraid, and he goes, "Oh, then you'll die braver than most.
You'll die
like,
braver those
are
than so, most."
Those are some of the best Vader lines. And I can't believe you were sinking into your chair. See, I was like, you know that meme where like the guy's playing video game, just sitting back in his chair, and then like he hunches forward when things get serious. That was me. Like, I was hunched forward, just like eyes dialed into the screen the whole time.
It's funny because I do that when I'm at home. Mm-hmm. Because, well, I'm not sitting. I'm like laying on my bed watching it. So, like, yeah. I'll kind of lean in closer to the TV. But, like, when I'm in a theater, it's kind of the same thing, but, like, I go backwards. You know what I mean? Like, I don't lean forward. If I'm leaning forward in a movie theater, there's something wrong with my stomach. Like, I don't know why. Like, that just.
Yeah,
like,
I'm the opposite.
I have a cramp or something. I don't lean forward in the movie theater. But, like, at home, I definitely do.
Yeah, there's been a couple of times, like, I was leaning, I was just, like, I was dialed in. I'm, like, studying this. It's the way I feel about it. Like, I did that during Dune. That was another movie where I found myself just hunched forward the whole time. Like, I'm just looking at every frame. I don't think what else I might have done that. But, yeah, I was like I'm in lecture hall is the way it felt. And I loved it. And I laughed at that line when Anakin said, "Is that what this is about?" And he kind of had, like, that – a little bit of the Canadian. I said, "This is that what this is about?"
I know. Oh my god! It was the one line where the Canadian came out, and it was funny because I remember after the episode, and we were driving home, and Robert mentioned something, and he was like, "Yeah, but a little bit of the Canadian slipped out." I said, "It was just that one line. It was fine."
No, it was hilarious. I laughed not because of that, but because she's like, "Dude, you kill younglings," basically is what she's insinuating. He's like, "Really? Like, is that what you want to talk about? Like, you're about to die."
Right.
Some old guy just whooped your ass on CTOS. Like,
right.
That's not what you got to worry about.
Exactly. And that's what I love about the Anakin character. You know what I mean? And like, for me, it also shows that, you know, even in spirit form or whatever you want to call it, like, he's not defined by his actions. You know what I mean? His character is more than his actions. And I love that. I just, you know, and, you know, he was there for a reason. He had to teach Ahsoka this lesson. It was not her time to die. You know, I that whole fight, the choreography of the fight, how it kind of mirrored Mustafar a little bit. You know, obviously he did the spinny thing, which I love and I'm still working on, and I need to stop doing it in the downstairs dining room because I keep breaking things because I'm bad at it, but you know, that's okay. And then like the way his eyes were, and then her eyes, and then like, you know, when she gets the upper hand and she gets the, you know, like she's got the saber right to him and he's just staring at her. And she, you know, she's got that look of evil in her eyes. I'm not going to say her eyes were red. I am leaning toward that it was the reflection of the lightsaber, not necessarily her eyes turning red.
Yeah, I got to agree with that.
Yeah, I don't know. I think her eyes turning red, that's a little much for David, at least. I think it was more the lightsaber reflecting. But, I mean, I immediately went right back to Return of the Jedi with Luke and, you know, like pounding hard on his father with the lightsaber, you know, the bzz, 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 and then like chopping off the hand. It's that tapping into the dark side, you know, that happens in the heat of the moment. And then it's all about what you do after the fact, you know, and you know, she chose to live. And it just, I'm getting emotional thinking about it. Like, it just, It was just so well done. I loved it. I loved that it echoed, you know, Luke tossing the lightsaber aside. You know, I am a Jedi like my father before me. It just gave me goosebumps. I don't know how else to. It was perfect. I loved it.
Yeah, I couldn't have said it better. It was just beautiful.
Right. It like the acting, the choreography, the shots, the close-up shots, and then the wide, and then the close-up again. You know what I mean? Like, it just, it's just perfect. I absolutely loved it. And I have to admit, I have definitely rewatched that scene probably more than any other scene in this show.
I think that, I mean, you're supposed to, but I like that it actually had bearing on the show. It wasn't just shoehorned in there. Actually had meaning and purpose.
Right.
And it led to Ahsoka being Ahsoka the White, which is so incredibly important for her story.
Absolutely. And yeah, talk a little bit about that, because I talked enough about Anakin. Give me some Ahsoka the White. Because I know we've been waiting for this.
So I think there's obviously some references to Gandalf. I mean, Gandalf the White, getting off the gray. But to me, this was more like in Harry Potter when Harry's basically dead and goes up there and then comes back to Earth alive. I don't know if Ahsoka really died, but it reminded me more of Harry Potter than Lord of the Rings.
Interesting. Okay. See, I'm not, I mean, I've watched the movies maybe once or twice, but I'm not really big into Harry Potter, so I'm not sure. But okay, interesting. Yeah, I don't think she died.
Yeah, and there's a lot of hero's journey references here. Mm-hmm. Like, she, not to jump ahead, but she literally goes into the belly of the whale, like the belly of the beast.
Oh my god, I didn't even
think
of that.
And now she's traveling. Like, there's a lot of really, really subtle things here. And I think the more you dive into this show or this series, the more you understand Dave's just love for filmmaking in general, mm-hmm. And his love for lore and mythos and Joseph Campbell and everything that came before him. That's like bleeding through this show. And I'm so grateful he was able to do this.
Yeah, me too.
I love this show, man.
So do I. And I can't imagine. I mean, I can't imagine Dave Filoni giving any of this up to anyone else. But like, I'm just like you said, I'm so glad that he got to do it. And yeah, it's just phenomenal. And yeah, the belly of the whale, the hyperspace traveling space whales, which is the best description. I forget what I even read that on. I think it was IGN or something like that. But just the way they described it, I was like, this is amazing.
And for any of my other like Denis Villeneuve nerds out there that might be listening, the sound design for the space whales or the Pergo was very similar to the heptapods in Arrival. And if you ever watched that movie, Dave, you would understand what I'm saying. These aliens that come to Earth.
I'm going to have to watch now. If Purgles are in it, then guess what? I'm going to watch it.
They're like Purgles, but they stand straight up. So they're heptapods. So they have like seven tentacles, and their tentacles, it's not a huge spoiler, it's in the trailer, but their tentacles like spray this ink that makes its own language. And they're able to like write the beginning and the end of a sentence all at once. It has a really deep meaning. You gotta watch the movie. It's on Netflix right now.
And what's it called? Arrival.
Yeah.
Okay.
You would like it. It's very sci-fi heavy. But the sound design, if you go and watch it, the sound design of the heptapods is very similar to the Purgle, where it's like this deep bellow you get, and obviously very whale-like, but also kind of mysterious and dark. It was really, really well done.
It was really well done. And another thing that was very well done was the following episode, which we still have to talk about. episode 6 called Far, Far Away, which I love the title. The title made me beautiful. So happy. And the first, but who wrote and everything this episode, Kyle? Episode 6. We gotta give our due to everybody.
Yeah, so written, again, Dave Filoni. All these are written by Filoni, just for the audience.
That's right.
The director is Jennifer Getzinger. She, if you are into TV, you've seen her name multiple times. I can't even list all the shows she's done. She has like dozens and dozens of writing credits. But our audience will probably recognize her from Daredevil. Jessica Jones, Netflix Marvel series. She's directed some of the best episodes of that.
Nice.
And then the director of photography is Eric Steelberg, who's also done multiple episodes of Ahsoka. They have two cinematographers who worked on this show.
Awesome. But yeah, that first scene with Hu Yang, I just, and it's funny because I almost forgot they were in the whale. You know, like.
Yep.
I mean, I know like the first shot is the whales and they're going through, you know, I mean, I guess it is hyperspace, right? Like,
Like,
I know they're traveling to another galaxy, but like, it's the same. It's still hyperspace, right? Like, it's not.
Yeah, I'd say it's still hyperspace.
It's not anything different. Now, is there a reason why you can't travel to the other galaxy through like normal hyperspace? Like why the Falcon couldn't do it, or why like Mando's N1 couldn't do it? Do we know anything about that yet? Or am I really reaching?
I think you're just supposed to assume it's the amount of power it takes. Like it needed 6 engines for the Eye of Sion to go through, and it still came out. If you pause that frame, it came out like torched. Like you could tell it was overheating when it came out of hyperspace.
Okay. So
I think you're definitely meant to think that this is it takes an incredible amount of power to do that.
Right. Okay. Gotcha. And of course, you know, the Purgles can do it.
Yep.
But yeah, I just love that. I love the little, and I'm going to go with you on this, how the prequel reference, you know, the history of the galaxy parts 1, 2, and 3. And, you know, Ahsoka goes 1 being the best, of course.
That's got to be the prequels. There's no way
But it's funny because I've read some people online and they say, well, no, she means original trilogy because that was the first trilogy to come out.
Yeah, I can see
it's Dave Filoni. And exactly. Filoni gets very meta sometimes. And all right, all the time. And that's why we love him. It's why we adore him. And I still cannot believe, oh my God, that I was walking in Anaheim and I walked right past him. And it drives me nuts that I didn't realize it was him until too late.
I'd be for the best because the rest of us in the group would have been extremely jealous.
Well, Matt was right next to me. I was too busy talking to him.
Yeah, I don't know if we could be friends if you've met Dave Filoni. Like my another friend is. I'm just kidding. No, I just like the one guy I gotta meet before I die.
But
like,
I've met so many
other cast members. I gotta meet Dave Filoni.
I keep, especially after every episode of Ahsoka, I just think, oh my God, I was like this close to him because we literally walked past each other, and I thought, huh, cowboy hat and a wolf shirt. That looks like Dave Filoni. And then like. You know, we saw him at a panel later that day, and I was like, oh my God, that was Dave Filoni. I was so mad. Oh my God. I was so mad. I literally thought it was someone cosplaying as Dave Filoni.
Yeah, I mean, it could have been, but no,
the guy had the same hat and the same shirt.
Oh, okay.
Like, nice. There was no way. Like, it was that black shirt with, like, the blue wolf on it, kind of.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yep.
Like the wolf head or whatever. Yeah. Like it, but it was, oh my God. It, like I, that haunts me at night, Kyle, that like, I, yeah, that just, that haunts me.
Well, see, I was close to an exit one time, and I was with some people who were graphers at Celebration Chicago. And they knew he was going to be there, but I was just hanging out. I didn't have anything to autograph. I just wanted a picture.
Mm-hmm.
And I think because they were graphers, Dave and a security team just like kind of took him by. But I just wanted a selfie. Like, that's all I wanted with him.
I was going to say, I'm not going to lie. Like, my ultimate goal at this point is to get a selfie with Hayden. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but it has to happen. Like, to me, a selfie is worth more than an autograph.
Yeah.
Like with someone like that, I don't know why some people would think I'm crazy.
Matt would think you're crazy.
Matt would think I'm crazy, and I know I'm gonna get a text as soon as he listens to this episode about how crazy I am. But like, you know, because I have his autograph, I have a couple of his autographs, and I love them, and you know, like they're great. But I just, my ultimate goal now is the selfie, and I'm hoping when I show him the tattoo, maybe that can happen. So we'll see. But yeah, Hu Yang, Ahsoka in the first 5 seconds of the episode. Very Boba Fett of this show to not have the main character in the... No, I'm being silly because it's weird. I don't want to say I didn't miss Ahsoka, but there was so much going on that like I almost didn't notice that Ahsoka wasn't there. And I'm not saying that as a negative. I don't know if it's sounding negative.
No, when you look at this story, I mean, it's 8 episodes, about 45 minutes each. So you're looking at like, what is that, 5-ish hours of content when you get rid of credits
or
4 hours. I mean, it's a long story and she's absent for 30 minutes of it.
Right. Rosario deserves a break, number one.
That's like... one chapter out of a 10 chapter book missing with the character.
Right. And
that's,
then if you look at episode 5 that we just spent an hour talking about, like Sabine, well, I guess Baylan and them were in the beginning of the episode. No, because that was the episode before when they jumped to hyperspace.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, you know, like Baylan, all of them that are going to the other galaxy, I mean, they weren't in this episode, you know, they weren't in episode 5. So of course you had to catch up with them. So.
And that's fine. I mean, you're building supporting characters. That's what really matters. So.
Exactly. And that's, you know, what I love about it. And not that it's just these kind of like random, you know, tertiary characters that don't really do much. You know what I mean?
No, I just love that every character in this show has purpose.
Right.
And as much as I love Kenobi, there's a few characters in that show that could have been given a different story or would have been serviced better in another show.
Right.
But every character has purpose in Ahsoka.
Right. And speaking of purpose, how about the Dark Forces Rising? Grand Admiral Thrawn and his epic entrance. Oh, again, chills, man. Like when the Chimera was there and then all those troopers, which we'll talk about in a minute, but like just the way it was shot and the way, like it was a great entrance. I liked it a lot. And I think Lars looks great.
Yep.
I know I mentioned something in the group chat and I wasn't going to mention it, but I just mentioned that I'm going to mention it. So I'm going to mention it. I know, right? Like his hair seemed a little off to me. That was the only thing for me. Like, and I'm not sure why, like it just, I don't know. And it might be one of those translations into live action, kind of like the makeup. Now that I've rewatched it a couple times, I've more come to terms with the makeup. It's just every art piece I have ever seen of Thrawn or illustration or then in Rebels, like he always has those really defined cheekbones. Mm-hmm. So like, I know I put this in the group chat too. Like, I feel like they maybe could have done a cheekbone, like, and you can achieve it with makeup. Drag queens do it. Maleficent, you know, Angelina Jolie, like they always, you know, like they accent the cheekbone. So like it can be done. It doesn't take away anything from the show, obviously. You know, it just, me being a super dork, just that was my one takeaway. I was like, oh, they could have done the cheekbones maybe. But I mean, his performance is great. I remember him talking at Celebration about like having to change for live action, like the way he spoke, but did you notice anything like that, Kyle? I didn't really.
It's a little softer, and I've had like people who watch this show, like Thrawn is very soft spoken. Like he's scary, but he's very soft spoken. So I don't know. I think that's just movie acting, as I'm quoting and then quoting.
Right. As opposed to voice acting. I mean, cause it is a different medium. It's absolutely 100% a different medium.
Yeah. But I mean, I gotta go on record saying that what was once a dream is now a frightening reality for those who may oppose us, as the absolute ice coldest line that any villain has ever dropped as an intro to their character.
Absolutely.
Like that was just like, oh man, this guy's cooking. Like he's cooking something.
Okay, what is this cooking thing? Stop. You young people are driving me insane with the, oh
I wish
my God.
We had data on like what the average age of our audience member is, because
I know,
the
right?
fact that you don't know what cooking means, it just
says
a lot.
That's the thing, like I told you guys in the group chat after episode 5 how there were like these memes of like Dave Filoni in a kitchen and they were like, oh, he cooked. I'm like, what are they talking about? And I didn't want to sound like an idiot, but like I could only see so many of them before I was like, oh my God, I have to ask. I am sucking up my pride and I am asking my best friends, what in the world is going on? Why is Dave Filoni a chef? I did not understand. Like
my favorite one is where it's that handwriting, like the quill on the paper and it's setting on fire. It's like, this is Dave Filoni, like cooking with Ahsoka, you know, it just, oh, it's great.
Oh my God, it's amazing. I love it. Yeah, no. So what about Baylan and Shin? Like, what do you think they're doing? Like, I know they went after Sabine because they let Sabine go to find Space Jesus and, or Space Jesus Jr., sorry, because, you know, Obi-Wan was the first one. I love those memes, how, like, you know, like, this was your granddaughter, or, like, this was your mom's Space Jesus, and this is mine. Like, you know, like, and it shows, like, Obi-Wan from episode 2 with the mullet, and then...
Or it's, like, the, like, movie screen Jesus versus, like, actual historical...
Uh-huh. Versus actual historical accurate, yeah, uh-huh, it's amazing. Because I definitely, when he came out of the hut, I was like, oh my God. I'm like, he looks like Jesus. I really did.
No, they did a great job with Ezra and,
oh, absolutely.
And the casting. And
This show is so perfectly casted. I love everyone in this show. I feel like they did a really great job.
Well, for what it's worth, Sarah Haley Fend, who does the casting for Marvel, is the casting director for this show as well.
Oh, really?
So I think she's obviously just the best of the best right now in terms of casting.
I say, so how do we get her number and how do we get into one of these? we got to get her number then.
Yeah, that would be the dream.
if you're listening, please reach out to us, you know, via our social media channels. You know, and we will get back. I mean, Kyle, we are both actors, by the way.
It's true.
I mean,
it's very true.
You know. And but I gotta say, I was a Star Wars fan before I was an actor. I mean, I may have been in like, you know, like a preschool play or something like that. But no, like, I mean, definitely the Star Wars love was there before the acting love. So, I mean, if there was a way to combine that, you know, with all combined powers, oh, dude, we would rule the galaxy.
That I would be kill just incredible. To be one of the stormtroopers.
I was like, dude, I would be a body. I would be like a trooper. I would be a trooper that like got shot on screen and then everybody like goes over me. I don't care. I'd be like, guys, that's me. I'm dead. I'm like, I'm in Star Wars. Yeah. I didn't survive the war. Like, I would just be, yeah, like, I'm not talking I want to be a Jedi or, like, you know, Star Killer. Not that Sam Witwer would let me, but, like, you know, like, I'm not saying anything like that. But, sorry, tangent again. So,
but, yeah, for Baylan and Shin, I'm not really sure what Baylan is after. I kind of like that he hasn't even let Shin onto that.
Right, right.
Any, like, inkling of Shin turning on Baylan's kind of gone away for me. I think they would have set that up already if she didn't trust him. I think she loves Baylan, I think, like in a daughterly way.
Right.
And right. I don't see her turning on him.
No, I don't see that either.
I don't know what he's after. I don't know. A lot of people are saying Abeloth, and that's a massive shout out for anyone who followed Legends material. But I don't know what he's after, man. I just, whatever it is, I know it's going to be unique. It's not something that we're predicting.
Now, what is the thing? I had mentioned it to you before. It's like a shout out to the video game Jedi Survivor. It's like the language that's on the wall or something.
Like, yeah. So some of the text behind Thrawn when he's outside is Zepho. It's a reference to Jedi Survivor, which is the new Star Wars game with Cal Kestis.
Right.
It's like an ancient Jedi, like some of the oldest Jedi around, their language.
Okay.
So I'm not sure if it means anything, kind of like how Baylan has like 3PO, R2, Chewie, Han, Luke, Leia, all in Orbesh on his wrist. I mean, I think it's just,
that is amazing. Don't forget Ben. He's got Ben on there too.
Yeah. I think it's just the prop masters having fun.
Well, I love the prop masters. They're my favorite because they included Ben in my favorite show. So,
yep.
You know. All right. So how about the reunion between Sabine and her Ninja Turtles and Ezra? Like, I love those guys. Oh, my God. Like, I want one. Like, you know how I have like 80,000 porgs? I want one of those Ninja Turtles. I think they're cool.
I think they're lobsters. They look like lobsters to me.
You can say lobsters. I'm going with Ninja Turtles.
Lobster turtles.
Oh, wait. Teenage Mutant Lobster Turtles. How about that?
That'd be a really fun comic book that nobody would buy.
Everyone would buy it because we're promoting it on Jawa Jabber, the best podcast ever made for Star Wars. Come on. Come on, Kyle. You got to think big, man. But yeah, like, how did you feel about the reunion with Sabine and Ezra and her Ninja Turtle friends? And where is Splinter? No.
I don't know. It didn't hit as hard for me as I wanted to the first time. And I think part of that to me is, like, based on the first episode and the trailer – like, you think Sabine's into him. Like, she misses this guy that, like what could have been. But then on the hologram, he says, oh, I loved you like a sister. You're always a sister to me. Like, that's not how, like, Ezra was flirting with her. Like, is this some Luke and Leia stuff going on? You know what I mean?
I was I remember during Rebels, I always thought Ezra liked Sabine and not the other way around. Like, you know, Sabine
kind of went away with season 4. Like, they kind of backtracked on any. Like, there was really no romantic involvement at all. But I feel like part of it is just, I don't know what they want there, what they're setting up. And it still worked, just not as much as I was hoping it would. But everything was just made 10,000 times better by Iman Esfandia's performance. Like,
oh,
this guy was just born to play Ezra.
I agree. And I know for a while I was upset because I remember I had already fan casted the guy who plays Aladdin in live action. Yeah. As Ezra, and I think I got that from Facebook. Like someone had posted something, and I was like, "Ooh!" And I know that he's a Star Wars fan, so I was like, "Oh yeah, he could be Ezra. Like that'd be great." But no, I think Iman is doing a great job with what little he has had to do so far. But like, yeah, I know one of our listeners, his name is Matt, reached out to me asking if I liked the reunion, and I said yeah. I said I thought it was, you know, I thought it was nice, like it worked, like I thought it was fine, you know. And it, and I said basically what you said, like it didn't hit me as emotionally as I thought maybe it would, but like I didn't hate it, like, you know. But he said yeah, I didn't like it because, like, you know, they didn't hug right away, like there was like a hesitation there and something like that. And I was like, well, I said, Ezra's on a distant planet in another galaxy. Like, he's probably been on his own for a while. Like, he might not, even if it is someone, you know, like, you might not run up to someone right away. And, like your first instinct might not be to hug them. Like, it could be more of, like, a shock. Like, whoa, are you really here? Like, and I feel like that's more of what they played. I don't know. I could be reaching there. But I wanted to share that little listener feedback.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you, Matt. Different Matt than our Matt, right?
Yes, not Matt the Radar Tech. No, that was
just so the audience knows we have
this is listeners. Another Matt. We have multiple Matts. We have multiple Roberts. We have I mean, there's, you know, and of course Chris is the most popular name in the galaxy. So, you know,
overall it worked for me. Natasha's great. She plays a really well rounded Sabine. I hate that. I wish I had a better example for this, but she's a lot like Star-Lord right now in Infinity War to me. Like, you're going to hate her. Like, Star-Lord could have saved the galaxy by just killing Thanos, but he got pissed and punched him. Like, you know what I'm talking about, right, David?
I do. Infinity War. And I didn't think about that until just now.
Save the galaxy. You want to hate her, but you still like her. So I'm just... She did the Star Wars thing.
Like, if I was gonna say, like, if you or Matt or Dennis were trapped in another galaxy and I had a chance to go save you, I would. Like, whether or not Thrawn or, you know, some real life maybe rhymes with dump is in that other galaxy and could potentially come back and kill us all. Like, I don't know. I'd still go rescue you guys.
That's the Star Wars thing to do. And
I know, and like, I hate it because I'm such a dark sider, but I'm not at heart, and it drives me nuts.
I mean, that's like, it's like how what Rose Tico said, like, that's how we're going to win, not fighting what we hate, saving what we love.
Saving what we love.
Like, that's the Star Wars thing to do. But now they're going to, after they save what they love, they're going to have to fight what they hate, so.
Well, yeah, and, like, what about Ezra's, Ezra's probably going to be mad.
I hope he is. I hope he doesn't just let her off the hook, and that's one thing to me, like, there needs to be some kind of consequence there in that relationship or something.
Could you imagine if he, like, grabs the lightsaber and just kills her? Like, I can't believe
I wouldn't see that happening, but yeah.
Oh, wait, it wouldn't work because she has her armor on.
Yeah, very true.
And she's already been stabbed and she didn't die. So, you know, because Qui-Gon is the only one that dies from lightsaber stabs, but, you know, that's okay.
And Han Solo.
That's true. It wasn't the fall that killed him. It was the, yeah. Definitely. All right. So now there's two people. Okay. That's fair. All right, when it was just Qui-Gon, that's not enough, but Han was too, so that's fine. And that was under Disney, so that works too, because, you know, everyone's like, oh, Disney doesn't kill people with lightsabers anymore. And it's like, well, sure they do, they just don't do it a lot. Yeah, I think that's going to wrap it up for tonight. Obviously, we have two more episodes to go with Ahsoka. We're obviously very excited. We will keep you guys updated if we are going to do an episode for episode 7 or if we're just going to do like a grand finale for episode 8. We're kind of, you know, touch and go at this point, but we'll see what happens. Kyle, do you have any last words to say to our audience?
Nope, just thank you for listening. We appreciate you guys and we'll catch you next time.
Yeah, make sure to reach out to us on our social media pages. We've got Facebook, Instagram, and whatever Twitter is being called for the week. You know, reach out to us with questions, comments, concerns. What do you guys want to hear now that Ahsoka is wrapping up? What are our episodes possibly going to be? I mean, I've got From Life Day through Christmas covered, but we're going to have to come up with some more content. So, anyway, yeah, I'm really glad that you guys came on tonight and listened to us. Thank you, Kyle, for being my co-host tonight. Unfortunately, the other guys couldn't be here, but that's okay. For Kynobi, Matt the Radar Technician, Dennis the Phantom Menace, I am your Supreme Leader, David Wren. Thank you very much for listening, and may the Force be with you always.